on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield IMG College, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, happy new year, and welcome to another edition of YokeCast. I know we're a few days past the whole New Year's thing, but this is our first YokeCast in 2021, so technically, then happy new year to you. And you may have noticed that this week we released on Thursday instead of Friday. That is going to be a thing going forward, and mostly because we're going to have a lot of games coming up on Fridays here going forward. Whether it's basketball games, we'll have football on Fridays. We've just got a lot going on. So we're going to push out the YokeCast podcast on Thursdays, so please look forward on our new time on Thursdays rather than on Fridays, what we've done through most of this year. So look forward every Thursday, and we will bring you more and more YokeCast throughout the course of the year and continue with our conversations with different people. Well, it was so much fun to see home games finally in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. I mean, the last time I think that we had this show, we were dealing with mostly road games. We were just starting home games. But to finally get Summit League basketball and home games in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center, it was great. Now, what I thought was tremendous was we were able to see a number of fans in attendance at the games. And I think fans were very engaged with what was going on. Of course, it's easy to be engaged when your teams are dominating, right? And that's what happened on Saturday and Sunday last week. Dominating efforts, and now the teams will be away from home. Basketball teams away from home here for the next few weeks before we get back inside the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. So, really enjoyed having home games again. Really enjoyed seeing fans in the stands, because for men's basketball, up until the men played at home, they had not played in front of a crowd. They didn't play in front of a crowd at Kansas State. They didn't play in front of a crowd at Nebraska. They did not play in front of a crowd at the Dakota Showcase. So to get some games at home, have fans there, I think it was a lot of fun. I know they appreciated it, you know, and it was a weird home schedule for the men's team to get started, because you get a home game postponed, you play it at 5 o'clock on a Friday, which is difficult, I understand, for people who have jobs to get to, and then you play a Mount Marty team on a Sunday afternoon, evening type of setting. But to get Summit League games against Denver Saturday and Sunday, great crowd. Hopefully we can continue to increase it. But right now, season ticket holders and students are allowed to attend games. And anyone that you're able to make it to, man, just know that they feed off of what you're doing. So get there, be engaged, have a lot of fun. And that will be that's how we get that home court advantage in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. Coming up in the show today on our YokeCast podcast, we will talk to A.J. Plitzewhite. He's coming off a career-high 31-point effort on Saturday against Denver University. So we'll talk to him about how he ended up at USD. We'll also talk to Jason Mahold. He is the swimming and diving coach at the University of South Dakota. Fun conversation there as we talk about what they were doing when the pandemic started. Fun story, or not, I don't know if fun's the right word, but just an interesting conversation about where the swimming team was and how they managed to get back to South Dakota. But we will start the podcast, as we always do, with the athletics director at the University of South Dakota, David Herbster. David, it's great to chat with you again. It's been a little bit with the holiday break, so let's start there. How was the holiday break, if you got a little bit of a break and time with the family during the Christmas and then, of course, New Year's?
Sure. No, happy New Year, John. It's good to be back on the podcast with you. We survived. We stayed here for the holidays, Christmas and New Year's, and had – all the girls back. Everybody survived. Everybody's going to walk, get out of this in one piece, which is always positive. But we had a good time. We really did. It was a chance to just kind of ease up on the accelerator a little bit. I was still in the office most of the days, but And I'm not saying that was just to get out of the house either, but it was, there's still, needless to say, regardless of the time of year, there's still stuff to do here on campus and in the department. But it was good to, just to be with family and to reflect a little bit and really take some time to appreciate what we have, to appreciate each other and reconnect with family. I think over the course of that week, we Zoomed with about every family member possible. So even away from work, I couldn't get away from Zoom calls.
They are all around us. There's no doubt about it. You know, we go through the new year and we didn't waste any time. Basketball games right away, January 2nd and 3rd. Could not have been a better start for the Coyote men's and women's basketball teams in Summit League play, both with dominating wins on Saturday, both also picking up wins then on Sunday where they controlled the games. What a great start to the Summit League.
You know what? It really was. You know, the men hadn't played since before Christmas, and the women did get a game in there between Christmas and New Year's, but now you're jumping into league play. This is, you know, where it really starts to count. And to come off of that break, to come off, you know, to kind of work off the rust a little bit of not playing, of being home for a few days and then being able to come back, frankly, dominating performances by both teams. And to have such dominating performances two games, you know, 2 days in a row against the same opponent is unusual, to say the least, and really in the way and the fashion that they did it. It's good to, you know, your first couple games in of the conference play to get all your players in the game, to get some experience. And I, you know, as I'm talking with the coaches later, they were reminding me, hey, this isn't going to be the way it goes throughout the rest of the season. I mean, it's going to be, you know, up and down. I think both are really trying to, you know, not only is your coach from the first game to the second game, but when you go back-to-back nights, you can make some minor adjustments from one game to the next, kind of like what you would do at halftime of the game. But really, it's about just rolling out the ball and playing. And I think the effort, the energy, and the intensity really, really helped both squads come out with such convincing wins.
Yeah, it was certainly fun to watch, no doubt. And we saw milestones happen as well. I think Hannah Shervin collected her 1,000th point of her career over the weekend. We saw A.J. Plitzewhite get a career high with 31 points in a game. So saw a lot of good things, too. Individual, obviously team accomplishments, but where we recognize individuals, and it's always fun to treat those individuals with recognition.
You know what, it really is. It takes a team for those individual accomplishments to happen. And, you know, it's good that is something that both Coach Lee and Coach Plitzewhite not only recognize, but talk about with the rest of the team. You know, 1,000-point scores or AJ scoring 31, whatever it is, that doesn't happen by themselves. It happens because of the team. So, you know, really when you don't think about it like this, but, you know, when you really recognize those individual accomplishments, it's really a testament to the team itself. And so, but nonetheless, great performances, individual performances to cap off such huge team accomplishments.
You know, I don't know if you're ready, but ready or not, as you look at the calendar of events here over the next several weeks, the time, I guess, over the last few months that we had hoped would come is quickly approaching, because here in the next week to 2 weeks, volleyball is going to be in action. Swimming is going to be in action. Track and field. We've got basketball. Football practice starts up, which we don't usually focus as much on football practice this time of year, but we'll have to because of a spring season. It's getting real, really fast during the month of January.
No, it really is. We're, you know, just the moving parts that goes into practice time for everybody, scheduling practice time, finding that time for everybody, and then balancing that with now that competitions are going to start here in a little over a week with our first swim meet, and then first track meet, and then another track meet, and then we're going to roll into basketball at the end of the month. Volleyball is going to start to kick in. So really, really quickly, it's on us. And so, you know, like I told our staff, you know, I really hope that you got all the rest you needed over, you know, around the holidays, because you know, come mid-January, it is full force as far as being able to put on all these events and then accommodate all the different training needs for all of our teams. And in some cases, where you're training during your competitive season, which it was different right in years past, because let's say whether it's, you know, it's a football, it's soccer, it's volleyball, you know, they're training right now, but they're not training for competition. Well, now we've you're training for competition in the midst of traditional seasons for basketball, track, and swimming. So it is, spring is actually closer than you think, right? Because now all of a sudden, here in the first part of February, we're going to have softball going out. You have tennis going out. And so it's everything's going to happen for us competitively in the next 4 months.
There will be some staff members that need a nice long nap or a vacation come by the end of May, even more than they normally do after this year, don't you think?
Absolutely. this really is an all hands on deck. Even for over the break when we've had some games, we've had to have our staff work the games as, whether it's a ticket taker, working a camera, mopping a floor. I mean, it really is going to have to be all hands on deck because we can't, if we just are, it's a very small amount of staff from a game operation standpoint that are instrumental in every single event. Well, we're already stretching them thin. So we're going to have to really rely on the rest of our staff to come in and fill some gaps and fill some holes because you might find the golf coach helping out at a volleyball match. And we might have to have the volleyball staff help out at a soccer match. I mean, it's going to be all over the place. And though the thing that it makes me feel really, really good is that we have a staff that's willing to do that. We all know that it's, doesn't matter who gets the credit as long as the job gets done, and we're all going to have to help each other in order to have a successful season.
No doubt about it. And I'll say this to fans, if you are at an event and you see somebody that looks like a USD staffer, thank them for the job they're doing, because it's going to be more than they normally get this time of year. But we're all excited about that because that means the return of sports. Speaking of that, let's get to Ask the AD, because we've got some good questions here from our Coyote Nation faithful and everybody get excited about things. We'll start with this one, and I'm assuming this question comes because everything has been fluid over the last several months, but will the Coyotes play football games this spring?
Yes, we will, actually this winter and this spring. Our first football game is Friday, February 19th. And so, that's it's about 5 weeks away, 5-6 weeks away. So it's coming really fast.
Will there be fans allowed at our spring football games?
Yes, there will. Right now, we're going to follow our initial plan that we had back in the fall, and that is season ticket holders, students, player parents. And once we get to that list, we'll determine how many of single game tickets that we'll have available for the general public.
That leads us into another one. North Dakota State has announced this week, I think just a couple of days ago, an increase to 50% capacity at games for their facilities. Is USD looking to increase allowed attendance?
Not as of today. I think we really want to get through the month of January and kind of get a feel of where we're at, both locally and statewide. It's interesting because I know with the North Dakota schools originally they were not allowing any fans in the stands, and so to ultimately get to this point, it's really good for them. I'm also still reminded of their teams in our league that are not allowing any fans in the stands, and don't know if that number is going to change. The state of Illinois, Western Illinois being one of those, Kansas City, Denver still are not allowing any fans in the stands. So it's different from place to place. We're going to walk before we run. As North Dakota State announced that, it's really kind of in combination with their local health department as well as the state that's kind of easing some of those restrictions.
I think with part of this conversation, it's probably worth pointing out, I would imagine much of the increased capacity, whenever that happens, is not as much in your hands, in the USD Athletics Department hands, as it is with the state and the Board of Regents, who also have restrictions set forth.
Right. And for us, we're really working with our campus COVID task force in trying to determine what's the appropriate and the safe number. I feel really good about where we are right now. I think as we get closer, we'll be able to make some more decisions with real-time data that'll help us ensure that not only can we do everything that we can to help our student athletes, but our fans have a positive and safe experience.
So right now we're at a point where students and season ticket holders are allowed to basketball, volleyball games, really all of our home events right now. So how many season tickets are there for basketball, and how many are there for volleyball as we get ready for that season?
Well, I think that's probably a two-part question. How many do we have, or how many will we sell? We will continue to sell season tickets throughout the season. And so there's really an endless supply of season tickets. We've got about 1,300 season tickets out there right now between season ticket holders and corporate sponsors. And that's for basketball. For volleyball, we are selling season tickets right now. So as we get closer, we can talk about what that actual number is, because I do anticipate that number growing now until the actual volleyball season starts.
You know, continuing the conversation about attendance, this not necessarily at USD, but will impact USD fans. How about the Summit League tournament? When might we get some clarity on what attendance will be allowed for the Summit League tournament?
Oh, good question. We were actually just talking about that this week in our Summit League Joint Council meetings, and a decision has not been made yet. I do think, like we all expressed, really defining this sooner than later, so certainly our fans and people can make some plans. But again, remember, in the state of South Dakota, there's not a limitation on events like this. We just have to do it in a socially distant manner. So to answer the question, I would say by the end of the month, we'll know what that looks like. Are there going to be fans? How many fans? Because we all need to have that definition so we know and our fans know how to move forward.
Last one for you. I had one fan reach out and ask, how can I get a USD swim cap so I can represent in the pool up here in Canada? Go Yotes.
I suppose they're obviously swimming indoors.
I would hope so.
In Canada, right?
That or it's one of those polar plunge things going on.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and what I have found is that you can't just take a swim cap and slap a sticker on it, because they don't last very long in the water. You know what? That's not something that we sell. I don't even think the bookstore has those. So if they can either, I suppose, either join the team and get a cap that way. Because right now, you know, really, the only people that have our swim caps are the athletes themselves. So it'd much like someone asked me, well, how do I get a football jersey or a basketball jersey? I suppose there's always a tryout.
Yeah, get the tryouts. I lied. I got one more for you, because it's obviously getting to a busy time of year. We're going to have football practice gearing ramping up here very soon. Games, as you mentioned, first one February 19th. There's also track events, home track events scheduled for later this month. How do you go about dealing with both of those things, with football turf having to be down and then track meet being at home, and the challenges there with accommodating both sides?
Yeah, that's a fun one, to say the least. We are going to host two track meets here in the month of January, and what that means is track meets on the 16th and the 23rd. As soon as that meet on the 23rd is over, we'll start to lay down turf. We're not going to put the entire field down. We'll get about 75 yards of turf down. So it's going to allow us not only to be able to practice football, but also to have some field events being able to have practice in the field at the same time. And then once we get to the 1st of February, we're going to take all of that stuff out and have nothing but turf down on the field. So what this really does, and what this scenario has caused us to have to figure out a plan for, is cutting short the track kind of practice, if you will, on the back half, and then cut off and interrupt football practice on the front end in order to be able to accommodate both.
So just for clarification, no turf will go down until after the track meets are completed.
On the 23rd, correct.
Okay, yep. Well, that's as everybody knows, that date will come here faster than we can probably be prepared for it. Probably not fast enough for Bob Nielsen of the football crew, though, right?
Well, yeah, not soon enough for them, and too soon for Lucky and the track staff.
No question.
The track team. So it's definitely been a challenge. But I will say this, at least we have space, right? I look at some of the teams in the Missouri Valley and that do not have indoor football facilities or indoor practice facilities, whether that's Illinois State, Indiana State, Youngstown, Southern Illinois. I even go to the west of us and look at Montana and Montana State. So there's this playing football starting February is going to be an incredible challenge for a lot of schools.
Yep, no doubt about it, but we're all looking forward to it, and hopefully we can get to and through football season just like all the other sports and have them be get the opportunity to get back out there and compete again. David, I know it's a busy time, and we'll continue to talk about how busy it continues to get here over the next several weeks and months, but greatly appreciate your time as always.
Oh, thanks, John. Good talking with you again, brother. Appreciate you, man.
That's South Dakota Athletic Director David Herbster joining us here on Yodcast. If you have a question for David Herbster, you can always submit it on South Dakota social media posts. Those will come out before we have our conversations each and every week. You can also always email yodcast@usd.edu or find me on social media, send me your questions. I'll be glad to work them in to David Herbster. For the past decade, there's only been one place to watch your favorite coaches, players, and teams. That place is Midco Sports Network, celebrating 10 years of sports this season. Had a chance to catch up with Jason Behold. He is the swimming and diving coach at USD. Jason, first and foremost, just how are you doing? How's your team doing right now as we've had to kind of navigate this pandemic through the first semester and now as we get ready for semester number two?
A great question, John. We've got a good chunk of the team back on campus now, starting to ramp up practices for the spring semester. Fall semester is kind of what it was, right? It was a mixed bag of a lot of different things, a lot of uncertainty. We were very fortunate. We had some ability to utilize Midco Aquatic Center up in Sioux Falls to do kind of an inter-squad big championship type meet for us in November. So we gave the kids a chance to kind of rest and go up and try to put some times up from the fall with all the work they're putting in. So I think we were probably better off than most teams were this fall with the ability to kind of allow the kids to reap some benefits from all the hard work they're putting in. With our Summit League championships being extended, we're kind of ramping up for season number two right now. And kind of the way the staff has looked at it is this is kind of the start of a new season for us. We got through the fall and kind of looking at the spring as a whole new season for us. So the kids are getting back on campus and we're starting to ramp things back up a little bit. So it's good to be back at it. That's for sure.
How have you guys adjusted to a different schedule? Because typically by now, pretty much your whole season is already in the books. Probably three quarters of your season is in the books, and you're preparing about a month out or so from the Summit League Championships. And you're really at the point where outside of the visit to Sioux Falls that you talked about, where you haven't really had any competitions, and now Summit League Championships, I believe, are pushed to April, and it's just kind of adjusted everything. How have you handled the adjustment of that schedule and how it affects your normal training process?
You know, I think we're taking a day at a time. I think that's kind of everybody's mantra right now is a day at a time. Again, I think we've been very fortunate, John. We've got a very competitive team, a very talented team in ourselves. So we've been able to kind of push those buttons a little bit and allow them to kind of get after each other a little bit. But it's not the same as competing against outside competition. So I was actually talking to my assistant coach about this today. We're kind of in that like NBA playoff run. Like it's the rest versus rust thing, right? Like, and we're both a little concerned that we're going to have a little rust when we come back to compete here. But the kids are so excited about it, right? They're excited to have some outside competition, have some meets that actually have something on the line a little bit. So, I'm not quite sure how we're going to look the first couple meets out of the gate. But again, I think everyone is just going to be excited to be at a meet at the same time. Again, I think we've been pretty fortunate to have some of the inner team competition that we're able to have with the kind of team we have right now. So one day at a time, we're trying to give the kids as many different things to kind of spice practices up. This spring semester, we've kind of rearranged our practice schedule a little bit to kind of give them a day off in the middle of the week, something that we normally wouldn't do. But with the length of our season now, we kind of felt like to keep them fresh and keep them engaged, we kind of maybe need to give them a little more downtime to kind of allow them to kind of come back and get after it again day after day. So rearranging some things, and we'll kind of see how it goes.
You know, when this pandemic hit and started to really wreak havoc, if you will, on our athletics and sports world and just our individual lives and everything, your season had almost been completed. You guys were really close. You'd gone through the Summit League Championships, the Zone Diving Championships had just been completed, but not all of your swimmers were done with their season. When did you realize there was an impact that was going to affect the end of the year?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty great story, John. We were in Cleveland. We had 16 kids that had qualified for the NIC championships in Cleveland, Ohio. We had flown in, I believe it was a Wednesday. A meet was going to start Thursday, and we voted to go to dinner, and the athletes outvoted me, and we ended up at Buffalo Wild Wings. We're having dinner, and we're watching some of the TVs, and the NBA games were getting canceled that night. And my assistant coach looked at me and said, "This is getting pretty serious, isn't it?" And I said, "Yeah, I think it's getting pretty serious." Didn't put a lot of thought into like anything like that our meet would be canceled or anything like that, but went back to the hotel, got up the next morning, swam prelims. And then after prelims, we got a call from Corey Jenkins and David Herbster telling us they wanted us to get the team back to campus as soon as possible. We made the decision to compete that night in finals and then fly out the next morning. Crazy, crazy time, putting the kids through a lot of stress at that time. I don't think we got our last flight until 4:30 in the morning, that confirmation till like 4:30 in the morning, the next morning, but the kids were pretty stressed out. So, to kind of try to ease the pain a little bit of their season being canceled and abruptly and everything, we made the executive decision to take them to Topgolf that night. Had a great time, and it really just kind of let them relax a little bit. But it was kind of at that point we kind of realized that, hey, this is pretty serious. I think if you'd asked any of us at that time, though, if we'd still be sitting in the same type of scenario 9 months later, I don't think any of us would have said yes. So, but it's a crazy way to kind of start it, and just kind of, I say, realization of kind of where we were headed at the time. You know, when you see an NBA game get canceled on TV, you kind of go, okay, this is a little bit bigger than maybe we thought it was. So interesting time for sure. Something I can tell you, in my 18-year coaching history, I've never dealt with anything like that, never been called back on a road. I mean, I've gotten stuck in some massive snowstorms in Grand Forks, but never anything like that. So definitely a learning experience for myself, and definitely for our kids as well.
I'm curious, Jason, you had to get the team back, and I know there was a lot of concern for athletes everywhere on how they would return, if flying was safe at that moment, whatever. You guys were able to get some flights. When you were in the airport getting ready for your flights to come back, did it feel different? Did you look at things differently at this point, just with the unknown of what was going on?
A little bit. I mean, I think the biggest thing was that that you probably noticed was, at the time we still didn't quite know a lot about it. At the time we were still very concerned it was on surfaces and that's how you were contracting it. So, when we were getting on the plane, one of our swimmers actually had a thing of Clorox wipes, and I think we all took like 3 Clorox wipes and wiped our seats and trays and everything down. But, you know, at the time, John, I really don't think it really hit a lot of us, kind of what we were dealing with at that point. It was still very, I think we were still very naive to a lot of it. You know, I think I'd have a much different feeling traveling by plane now. And it is kind of crazy. I mean, there was teams that were from farther away than we were, that were told by their administration they couldn't fly, they had to drive home. You know, I know there's a couple schools in our conferences that said the same thing. Hey, there are teams on the road that had to get back via land transportation instead of flight. You know, I think it was the thing that I would tell you was most impressive, John, is just how fast all of the return to campus plans kind of came together for everybody. I mean, we were at a meet with almost 100 teams, and I think we were all out by the next day. And you kind of hear you call on our travel agent, and she's telling me, well, we'll get you there, but you're like 35th on my list of teams that needs to get back today, right? So, and just how fast I think they got through all that was pretty impressive. But again, I don't think we really kind of knew at that point, John, that kind of what we were dealing with. So hindsight, I probably should have been a little more paranoid, a little more freaked out than maybe I was. It's probably a good thing for the kids that I wasn't. Definitely strange. I think I think back about it now, John, you're asking the questions, and I think it was just a really strange time to be a college coach and be traveling with college athletes.
Yeah, well, applaud you and everybody else that was able to get, you know, the team and yourselves back home safely and quickly during this time. And obviously what it has become has just been incredible over the last several months. Speaking of that, now that you're preparing for a new season and you've been able to get back to practice, you know, there's been a lot changing with COVID and how it is passed and things of that nature. Your sport's a little bit different. There's water involved and everybody in the same pool. How is it that different maybe than football practices or basketball? Did you have to do extra research on how it impacts in the pool?
We changed a number of things, John, just to kind of help with social distancing and those types of things in practice. The pool itself is a huge plus, right? I mean, it's a chlorinated body of water. It's basically disinfecting yourself every time you jump into it, which is a huge help. We added a practice a day. So instead of going two practices a day, we've gone to three to kind of limit the number of kids at each practice. We've limited the number of kids on each end of the pool when we practiced. So we've done a lot of things to help maintain social distancing and distance in practice. We've rearranged practice schedules so we've got roommates practicing together, those types of things. And it's actually been kind of nice. The bright side to all of it is with additional practice, we've actually had more space in practice to do some things that maybe we couldn't have done in previous years with more kids in a lane. So there's always, I think, some positives to it. Some of the stuff that we're doing here in the spring semester with kind of changing our training plan and training schedule up, my associate coach Anthony Harris and I sat down when we looked at it and kind of came to the conclusion that we both had these ideas of different things we wanted to try over the years and just never felt like it was the right time to try some of these things, because what we were doing was working where we were at that point in time. And this is a great opportunity for us to experiment and try some different things we've always wanted to try, but maybe just haven't had the guts because kind of what we're doing was working, right? Well, this is kind of putting us in such a scenario where we can't do what we were normally doing. So why not kind of step outside the box a little bit and try some new things? And, I'm really excited about some of the things we're doing. And I'm thinking there are things that we may carry on forward well past the pandemic. Just because I think they're really good ideas, and I think they're going to help the kids perform better. But I don't know if I would have done them had the pandemic not pushed me to do them, right? So we're trying to keep that positive outlook on kind of what we can do and make the best of it.
Yeah, that's all everybody's trying to do, make the best of it. Let's look forward to this season. You had the USD Extravaganza you kind of talked about in November, a three-day event at the Midco Aquatic Center in Sioux Falls. What'd you see out of your group over those 3 days that really maybe gave you some optimism for this group?
Yeah, we had some great performances. It was our first chance to see our freshman group compete, which was good. We got a lot of information on that group and what we think they're capable of doing. As a whole, we thought the team just did phenomenal. I mean, in the scenario, the situation, only having our team there, we couldn't have asked them to do a better job than that. Even had a couple school records. Jake Leichner, our junior, broke the 400 IM school record, which probably, in my opinion, is the hardest record to break. He was actually out almost 2.5 weeks prior to the meet, as with some COVID protocols and stuff. He's now convinced that maybe he needs 2-3 weeks of nothing but rest before big meet. So we've got to kind of, change his mindset a little bit, but, I applaud him for trying. We saw some really good things. Our women are really coming together. They're a group that I think is going to do some really special things at the end of the season. And our men, we saw how deep we are on the men's side. There's not an event we're weak in on the men's side. We go probably 5 or 6 really, really strong in every event. I think Anthony and I realized after that meet that the men's team is pretty special, and we're going to have some tough calls on guys we're going to have to bring to meets down the line because we are just so deep on that side. But it's a great problem to have from a coaching standpoint to know you go 5 deep in almost every event. So, I think we learned a lot. Our true test will come here in these next couple weeks when we start competing against some outside teams and kind of get them out of their comfort zone a little bit when it comes to competing. But a lot of great things, I think, to come from both the men's and the women's side.
January 15th, scheduled to host Iowa Central, and then the 16th, the women's only event at home against St. Cloud State. Those are the first two real events for your group. What are you hoping to see out of these groups as you start the season and start preparing for the Summit League Championships, which are scheduled mid-April?
Honestly, John, I'm looking forward to seeing a race, right? as bad as that sounds, I'm sure when you talk to Don and Todd and they were excited to see a tip off, right? We're excited to see some races. I think Iowa Central is a great junior college team. They had national champions last year on the men's side. They're a really good solid team that will give us a really good push here that first meet out of the gates. I think that'll be fun. St. Cloud's in a little different spot than we are. Their championships are still in February. They're going to probably be at a little bit different place in their training plan than we are. But again, Jeff up there always has his kids ready to go. So I'm excited to see kind of how we respond to having outside competition. I'm really excited that our first meets are at home, so we're in our home pool. The kids are comfortable here. We're not having to worry about traveling that first meet out of the gate. We can be at home and compete here. And the dome pool is a home pool advantage for us. Being short course meters, it's definitely in our favor to have a home meet. So, we'd like to see obviously our upperclassmen do what they're capable of doing. And then, we're going to try to get a read on some of those underclassmen and kind of see where they're at. And I think it'll give us a good gauge of kind of what we maybe need to adjust moving forward to kind of keep getting ready for the championships in April. We did a great job, I think, of spreading our schedule out here over the next couple of months to give us that some time to really kind of race into shape a little bit. But our end goal is still going to be the Summit League Championships in April, John, and that's kind of where we're focused in is to continue to get better each and every week until we get to those championships and hopefully peak at that point. So, that's kind of where our head's at this point.
We look forward to seeing how the group continues to grow and get better over the next 3 months leading up to the Summit League Championships. Jason, great stuff. Really appreciate the stories and the conversation. As always, wish you all the best this season.
Awesome. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
That's swimming and diving coach Jason Mahold joining us here on the Yotecast podcast. Okay, Yotes fans, let's bank some noise. First Dakota National Bank is here to help you reach all of your financial goals. Bank some noise with First Dakota at firstdakota.com. Member FDIC. Fresh off a career-high 31-point effort on Saturday against Denver, we're joined by A.J. Plitzelwhite, who's in his first season in a Coyote uniform. A.J., great weekend. How'd it feel to get the Summit League schedule underway and kind of get back on the floor after a holiday break?
Yeah, it's always fun to get back on the court, get back with my teammates. It was a great break, but we got off to a good start, so all positives so far.
Now, you've obviously been a basketball player through and through and kind of grew up a little bit in a basketball family, I guess, with your mom as a coach and kind of being around it as much as you have been. Think back. When did you know that basketball was your sport and something you were going to do?
I think I knew that from a pretty young age. I mean, growing up, it was something I was always around, something I was always interested in. So I don't know exactly what age it was at, but I think it was always something that was at the top of my interest.
Obviously, something that led you to a good path, and obviously had a good career at Vermilion High School when your mom got the job at the University of South Dakota. Talk about your recruiting process from the beginning, coming out of high school, and just kind of going through that process of figuring out where you were going to play basketball at the next level.
Yeah, I mean, I was really fortunate to have a bunch of offers from a bunch of different schools. And for me, it was just finding the right fit for myself, finding the right coaching staff, the right teammates. And that was Augustana. I mean, I loved the coaching staff. I loved everyone there, and I had a great time there. So,
And obviously a great deal of success in the Northern Sun as the freshman of the year. When you look at your time as Augustana, how did that help you grow as a basketball player?
Oh, it definitely did. The coaching staff at Augustana, Coach Billiter, he put me in a position to be successful and just kind of grew from there.
With so much success at Augustana and eventually deciding to transfer to USD, ultimately what was it that made you decide USD was where you wanted to try to play next?
Well, I definitely knew the community here growing up here, so I knew that I would be welcomed and that I would be loved in the community. And this is home, so I mean, it was always USD for me.
Was it always just the goal to play a level up, or did was it really that factored in for you?
No, playing a level up was never. It was finding the right fit. So I knew that in Vermilion that it would be the right fit for me. I would have people backing me. So that was the biggest thing for me.
You had to sit out last year as part of the transfer rules. Describe that and just the challenges of not being able to be out on the floor on game days.
Yeah, it's definitely hard seeing your team go out there and you not being able to play. But sitting out a year, getting in the weight room, learning from the five seniors from last year definitely helped me become a better player.
You know, when you look at, obviously, you went to Augustana and you learned on the fly, getting adjusted. How much did it actually help, silver lining, if you will, sitting out and being able to understand what Coach Lee and his staff were trying to do before you actually got into games this season?
Oh, it definitely helped. Learning the system for a whole year before kind of jumping into it, seeing where open spots would be, open positions, it was huge benefit to me.
And when you look at what USD is doing right now, and obviously there were some ups and downs in the non-conference this season, but getting off to a good start in the Summit League, when you look around at this team, and you see it obviously in practice all the time, what do you see out of this group as a whole?
I think that we have the talent. I think that we have everything we need to be successful and make a good run in March. So it's just a matter of getting better every day and putting pieces all together.
What has been the adjustment, if you will, for you as you've progressed through different levels of basketball from high school to Division II to now at Division I at USD? What are the differences between those levels of play?
I think the biggest difference is just athleticism and size. So adjusting to that, adjusting to how I can get my shot off, how I can get open, create shots for other people.
You probably couldn't have gotten a better welcome to the athleticism than being guarded by McKinley Wright against Colorado to start the year. I mean, that guy's probably going to play in the NBA. Was that kind of an eye-opener for you?
Yeah, I mean, McKinley he's a hell of a player. So being able to play against that level is just a huge benefit. And, I'm looking forward to continue doing that in the future.
You're coming off of a great weekend to open up Summit League play, obviously on Saturday, 31 points and very efficient shooting for you that day. You've had big games in your career before. I I know I'm going to get the number wrong, but I think you scored 53 or something like that in high school, wasn't it? Didn't you have one of those games?
Yeah, I scored 52 once.
Ah, 52. Okay, at least I didn't shortchange you. But when you're having that kind of a game and that kind of an effort, I guess, and you're scoring a lot, and 31 obviously is a lot at this level, and the ball's just going in, what's that feeling like as a player?
Oh, there's no better feeling in the world. When that shot, when the rim looks big and everything's falling, there's no better feeling.
Is there any shot you think you can't make when you're kind of in that zone?
Absolutely not. I think I can make every shot.
Well, you made a lot, obviously, this weekend, and not only Saturday, but over the course of the weekend. And Stanley Amude obviously had a big game as well. You've been able to get to know him, obviously, the last couple of years, and now playing alongside him in games this year. What is that relationship like for you guys, two guys that are trying to lead this team?
Yeah, it's definitely evolving and growing, and I think you can see that on the court. We're just getting better each and every game, getting our rhythm and getting our unity together.
Obviously, a couple of talented guys, and fans love watching you guys play together. When you look at the uniqueness of your situation, AJ, your mom's the head women's coach here, obviously, and you've probably figured this out, but fans kind of like her around here for the success that they've had and just how she is with fans in the community. But how is that? How unique is that for you and for her to have that? Obviously, you have your home life, but you also have the opportunity to represent USD together.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for myself to continue learning and being around her and growing from her, because like you said, everyone knows she's a great coach. So just being around her, seeing what she sees, and has been a huge benefit.
Do you ever get a break from being coached?
Yes, I do. It's my mom does a great job of laying back and understanding that it's my team. It's my life, so she does a great job of balancing that.
You know, this with the new Summit League schedule and the way the format is, she had the opportunity to watch you this weekend, and I think that might have been definitely the first time at USD, maybe the first time collegiately for you, that she was able to see a game in person. How cool was that?
Yeah, it's always great to have family and friends at the game, so for her to see my game is awesome.
AJ, what do you hope that fans recognize with this team right now as you guys get the Summit League season underway and obviously strive for big goals in March?
I think that for fans, I hope that they can see that we're just getting better each and every game. And hopefully they can see that we're a team that's dangerous. We can make a run at it in March.
Individually for you, what are your basketball goals going forward?
Well, my goals individually it really doesn't matter. I mean, for me, all I want to do is win, and that's the biggest priority for myself. So whatever it takes for the team to win and be successful is what it's going to take.
Well, we look forward to seeing that continue to grow. AJ, thanks for the time. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
That is going to wrap things up for us here on Yodcast. It's great to have you alongside for this one, and we'll have plenty more episodes coming up as well. And if you have a thought or maybe a guest in mind or story that we should discuss here on Yodcast, you can always email that to yodcast@usd.edu. Quick look at the schedule. What's coming up in USD Athletics coming up on Friday and Saturday? The men's and women's basketball teams are on the road at Kansas City. Women's scheduled to tip off at 2 o'clock. The men's games will be at 7 o'clock. You can hear both of those games on the Coyote Sports Network. Join us for the action. Next week, next Friday and Saturday, basketball seasons are off. However, the swimming and diving team is set to host Iowa Central Community College on Friday. Track and field has the USD Invitational. That is set for Saturday the 16th as well. So that's what's coming up here over the next week in Coyote Athletics. My thanks for you taking your time to join us here and listening to this episode and continuing to support what we're doing here with Yodcast. Again, if you have any thoughts of stories or guests in mind, please email us at yodcast@usd.edu. That's going to wrap things up for us this week. I'm John Thayer. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yodcast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Coyote Sports Network.